Let's turn in our Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, second book of the New Testament, Mark chapter 4, and we're going to go to verse number 21. Mark chapter 4, verse 21, and I'm going to read verses 21 through 29. I hear pages turning, I see people looking in their Bibles, and that's a good thing. So if you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. Here's what God's word says in verses 21 through 29. He said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on a stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Carefully consider what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him." He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." Let's go to God in prayer. Father, these are the words of your Son, Jesus, and we want this truth to open our minds here this morning and our hearts, and open up some more truth to us here this morning, Lord, something that we need to grow on, something that we need to learn. And Father, I just pray that the words that I have written on this paper here, Lord, will be exactly what you want me to say, and that the truth will continue and has indeed set us free. When we give you all the glory, and we ask this in the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. Do you sleep well at night? Do you sleep well at night? Many people do not. I see a lot of you shaking your heads. Yes, I do. Most of the time, I sleep very well at nights. Once I hit the bed, my head hits that pillow, I'm sound asleep. There are occasions when the Lord will wake me up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and here comes the sermon for next Sunday. So I kind of have to remember what He's telling me or listen very intently. But otherwise, for me to fall asleep is no big deal. I sleep well, generally speaking, but the inability to sleep is called insomnia. The medicinenet.com website defines insomnia as this: difficulty initiating or maintaining sleep, or both, despite adequate opportunity and time to sleep, leading to impaired daytime functioning. The website goes on to say this: insomnia is very common and occurs in 30 to 50% of the general population. Approximately 10% of the population suffer from chronic, long-standing insomnia. Insomnia affects people of all ages, including children, although it is more common in adults, and its frequency increases with age. In general, women are affected more frequently than men. The reasonsforinsomnia.org website says this, that the 7 most common causes of insomnia are, and in this order: 1, stress; 2, mental disorders; 3, injury; 4, drugs and medication; 5, a shift in your sleeping cycle; 6, indigestion. And number seven, your sleeping environment. Did you notice that the number one cause of insomnia is stress? Stress. And I'm sure, God bless you, and I'm sure one of those things that come along with stress is worry. People get stressed out because they are worrying about something. And in most cases, that something that they are worrying about is something that is totally out of their control. In our scripture lesson this morning, in the parable that Jesus teaches here from verses 26 through 29, he talks about a man who's scattering some seed. And I believe the man in this parable does not worry. I believe he does not have stress. Therefore, I believe this man does not have insomnia. And let me tell you why I believe that. If we go to the parable in verse 26, Jesus starts off by saying this, that this is what the kingdom of God is like. So we know that this parable is about the kingdom of God. But the analogy that Jesus is using in this parable is about the salvation of souls. The kingdom of heaven, the salvation of souls, one and the same. So let's look at this parable from a spiritual standpoint and in the standpoint of the salvation of lost souls. First thing Jesus tells us is this, is that the man sows the seed. He sows the seed. He just throws it out there. That's his job, to take the seed that he has in his container, whatever that container is, and just throw the sow that seed out there onto the ground. That's his job. It is not his job, however, to make the seed grow. It says in verse 27, he doesn't even know how that happens. What Jesus says, night and day, whether he gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he knows not how that happens. It's not his job to figure that out. That part of it's out of his control. Since it's out of his control, he doesn't worry about it. No worry, no stress, no insomnia. The man in this parable, I believe, sleeps well, spiritually speaking. The sower, the man in this parable, he knows one thing. I got to sow the seed. I got to throw it out there. I got to put it out there. That's my job. I'll do my job. And if I know if I do my job, I won't worry about not doing my job. Because he knows one thing. If I do my job, God will do his. But he also knows this. If I do nothing, nothing happens. If I do nothing, nothing happens. But if I do my job, I trust that God will do his part. You see, the man knows this. I sow the seed and God will make it grow. So let's go to our first fill in the blank in our bulletin. And let's start filling these out and start answering some very basic questions. Since the parable is about the kingdom of God and the analogy is about the salvation of souls, the first question is this. Who is the sower? Who is the man in this parable? And the answer to that would be our first fill in the blank. Every believer is a sower. Every believer is a sower. Now, let me throw these three points in there. The sower is not just the pastor. The sower is not just the Sunday school teacher. And the sower is not just the missionary who is out there in the field spreading God's word. The sower is you. If you're a believer and you're sitting in here this morning, you are the sower. It's your job and my job to sow the seed. Which leads us to the next question. What is the seed? And this will be our second fill in the blank. The seed is the Word of God. The seed is the Word of God. Now, one thing I failed to do here this morning was the first 20 verses of Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20, is the parable about the sower and the seed. We all know that parable. The sower takes the seed, he throws it out there. Some lands on good, fertile ground. It grows 30, 60, 100 fold. Some gets thrown here and it grows, but it gets choked out. Some gets thrown on the stony ground. It grows, but then it has no roots. And then the fourth ground over here, never really takes root. The birds of the air and Satan steals that away. But he does say in this, and this is in verse 14, and I'm sorry again, we didn't read this morning. Verse 14 says, the farmer sows the word. The farmer sows the word. It's the word of God. So if we're sowers, what do we sow? We sow the word of God, the salvation message, the gospel message, the words of eternal life. If we put these two together, the sower, us, and sowing the word of God, in today's world, we call that evangelism. You ever heard that term before? Evangelist. You know, we call Billy Graham an evangelist. Trust me, Billy Graham is not the only evangelist out there. I'm looking at a whole bunch of evangelists right now, and you probably don't even know that, do you? But it's up to each and every one of us to be evangelists, that we sow the word. In the Great Commission found in Gospel of Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, Jesus calls all believers to be evangelists. He says this, go out and make disciples of all nations. And that command wasn't just for those people who were standing there that day. That command was also for us. We are the sowers, and we have the seed right here. And we also have it right here, right in our hearts. And I'm going to say this, and something I've said many times before, there's a dying world out there, my friends, and that dying world desperately needs to hear the words of hope that this book has to offer. The words of hope that we have in our hearts. Because if we do nothing, nothing happens. Oh, we could probably assume, that's Dan's job, or that's Donna's job to go witness, or I think David will go on out and do that. Why should I have to do that? Let me give you some really good words of advice. Assume no one has done it. Now it's your job. Now it's your job. It's my job. Because if we do nothing, nothing happens. So we are the sowers. The seed is the word of God. Now let's answer another basic question. Okay, if I'm the sower and the seed is the word of God, how do I evangelize? How can I be a sower? And you may say this to yourself. Well, you know, I don't know everything there is to know about this book like other people do. So how can I be effective? I just don't know the Word of God very well. And how could God ever use me to be an evangelist? I just don't have the skills and the talent to do this. Kind of sounds like the words of Moses, and look what he did. If that is something that might be going through your mind, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I'm equipped. Let me ask this. Do you have a desire to do this? Or let me ask that question a different way. Is the salvation of unsaved souls important to you? Is the salvation of unsaved souls important to you? Do you sleep well at night, like the man in our parable does, knowing that you have done your job of sowing the seed, and sleeping well because you trust that God will do His job, and that's make it grow? Because I assure you, my friends, if we do nothing, nothing happens. So let's go to our third fill in the blank, and we'll fill that in here in a second. Let me just recap verses 21 through 23. In 21 through 23, which we did read this morning, Jesus tells us this: we are a light, and that's very similar to what he tells us back in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. And he says, we are a light to the world, and he tells us, don't put the light under a bowl. What you have inside here, don't conceal it. Don't hide it under a bowl. Don't put it under the bed. You got to let the light shine. You got to put it on a stand. Why? So everybody can see it. So everybody can see it. And then right after he gets done saying that, in verse 24, he says this. Consider carefully what you hear. He says this. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And even more. With the measure that we use, it will be measured to us. Let me put that in very simplistic terms. We do nothing, nothing happens. We do something, I believe God will live up to His part of the bargain and do something. Let me just rephrase it a different way. In evangelism, we reap what we sow. We reap what we sow. And that's our third fill in the blank. In evangelism, we reap what we sow. We sow much, we reap much. And Jesus says, and even more. We reap little. Excuse me. We sow little, we will reap little. We sow nothing, we reap nothing. Our Proverbs reading this morning, Proverbs 11:18, tells us that he who sows righteousness reaps a sure reward. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 tells us that we reap what we sow. But it goes on to say this, to not become weary, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, it tells us that whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will reap generously. Now that might talk about financially, but I'm also pretty well assured that that's going to be talking about my evangelistic efforts. If I evangelize sparingly, I will reap sparingly. But if I evangelize generously, I will reap generously. So, do you sleep well knowing that you have done your job of sowing the seed? But you sleep well because you trust that God will do His part, which is to make it grow? So, let's go back and look once again at how we can sow the seed. We really haven't answered that question yet. You might think, well, you know, I don't know if I'm going to be real good at this out in the world, you know, sharing my faith, you know. Well, let's look at two different ways, and that'll be our fourth and fifth fill in the blank. Our fourth fill in the blank would say this. Our conduct as believers is one way we sow the seed. Our conduct as believers. Our conduct, and this is easy. We can all do this. Our conduct, our Christian conduct out there in this unbelieving world is one way that we can sow the seed. Over the past 4 weeks, we've been in the sermon series on Christian conduct, and we've talked about these two ladies, Beth and Marcy, and what happened in that office environment. But our Christian conduct is important because God will use that to plant and to water the gospel message in an unbelieving world. Yes, it might not be the exact words of what we need to do to get saved, but it will certainly, what's the word that I hear a lot of people using, woo somebody into becoming curious. Do you remember last year I did a sermon series on Count the Cost, and I had this imaginary character there, her name was Sally, and there was something about Sally that her co-workers saw, and there was something that made them curious about her. It was her conduct. Her conduct was something that was attractive. Titus chapter 2, verse 10 tells us that our conduct must look attractive out there in this unbelieving world. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12 tells us that we need to live good such lives out among the pagans so that they may see our good deeds and glorify God. And Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 on the Sermon on the Mount, to let our light shine before men, that they may see our good deeds. Why? So they will praise our Father in heaven. Our conduct is one way that we can sow the seed. I'm sure each and every one of us has an opportunity out there somewhere, at work, with family, wherever you might be, to just display good Christian conduct and sow the seed into the lives of someone else. And our fifth and final fill in the blank would be this. There is a second way that how we can sow the seed. One way is our conduct. The second way how we sow the seed, we sow the seed by directly sharing the gospel message with others. We directly share the gospel message with others. Romans chapter 10 verse 15 says, how beautiful are the feet who bring the good news. I'm looking at about 40 people right now. That means there's about 80 feet. That'd be 40 times 2. Of people who have beautiful feet who can bring the gospel message to somebody out there who needs to hear it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 7 says that we are jars of clay. Remember about a month or two ago, I'm a little clay pot. Remember? I'm not going to sing the song again for you. I'm a little clay pot. What does it say about the clay pot? We have this treasure inside us. We are clay pots. We are nothing. But what we have inside us is a treasure. And that treasure is the gospel message. And 2 Corinthians 4, 7 says that we need to share that treasure that we have inside us. I look around the sanctuary here this morning, and I see about 40 clay pots. And each one of those clay pots has a treasure inside of you. Boy, it'd be great if you took that treasure that's inside that clay pot of yours and inside of mine and we share that with someone else. Or the third example, how about the entire book of Acts? And it demonstrates, the book of Acts demonstrates the evangelism of Peter and of Paul and of many other people in that book. And these people, they had a drive, they had a motivation, they had a concern, and they had a boldness for the lost souls of their generation. And my friends, let me put this challenge in front of each and every one of us. We also need to have that drive, that motivation, and that concern, and that boldness for the lost souls of our generation also. Amen? It's a lost world out there, my friends. It's a lost world out there. People need to hear the message of salvation. Romans chapter 10 verse 17 says this, that faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You don't get saved without it. I can look back at sermons that I have heard from different churches that I have attended, and there's always that sermon or two that kind of sticks out in your mind. And I remember back at Verona United Methodist Church, and the pastor was Pastor David Birch, and he gave a sermon on evangelism. And he said this, he said, you know, one of these days I'm going to die, and when I die, I know my eternity is secure, and I'm going to go to heaven, and when I get to heaven, there's going to be Jesus, and his hands or arms are going to be out there like this, and I'm going to run up to him, and he's going to give me this really big hug, and then he's going to do this. He's going to take me, and he's going to hold me by the shoulders, and he's just going to move me slightly to the side, and he's going to ask me, and he's going to look in my eyes and say this, who did you bring with you? Who did you bring with you? When we sow generously, we reap generously. And when we sow sparingly, we reap sparingly. And when we sow nothing, nothing happens. There are things in this world that we would consider exciting. Things that we enjoy. Things that make us feel good. Maybe it's a hobby. Maybe it's an activity of some sort. And you fill in the blank what it is that you find exciting in your life. And I know for some of you, I know my wife Gail, she loves to quilt, and I know people like Daryl, they love to go fish, and whatever it is for you, you find something that's really exciting, something that you really like to do in your life. But I assure you, whatever that is, whatever might be at the top of that list, if you are concerned about lost souls, if you are concerned about the eternity of an unbeliever, there is no greater excitement. There is no greater satisfaction. There is no greater spiritual high than when you can sit down with an unbeliever, with another person or persons, and share the gospel message. Knowing that for some brief time, brief period of time, you were a sower. And you did something. You did part of God's work because you know this. That if I do nothing, nothing happens. We need to sleep well. We need to sleep well because we know that we have done what we are encouraged and actually commanded to do. Sow the seed. That's all Jesus says. Sow the seed. Just throw it out there. Let me paraphrase that. This is what he says to Mike. He says, son, just throw it out there and watch me work. Throw it out there and watch me work. And I sleep well knowing that I throw it out there, and boy, I love watching him work. Let's go to God in prayer.